I want to start by reading a passage in Isaiah, and then we'll jump into our lesson this morning. Isaiah 43:1, it's this, "But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not." Turn to somebody, tell them, "Don't be afraid. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord. And my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I, and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God." Again, a powerful passage from the book of Isaiah, and I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on this idea of going first. Going first. Turn to somebody and tell them, you need to make the first move. It was quite a few years ago, and I was in Washington, D.C. for business, and we were getting ready to fly home, and I was sitting in the airplane. And anybody here not like to fly? Anybody here, you just don't like the flying? Yeah, a few people. Well, I'm sitting in the airplane, and it is rocking back and forth. I mean, you know this, rocking back and forth, and the wind is blowing this thing all over, and it's this shaking and shuddering and all this stuff. And here's the thing. We haven't even taken off yet. I mean, you're looking out, and I'm looking out the window, and there's lightning all over the place, and I turn around, and I am the only one with my little window shade open. Everybody else has their down, theirs down. It's like, don't even want to look at it. It's a massive, massive storm. I mean, it is just crazy, and we've been sitting out on the tarmac or whatever they call it out there for about an hour, and we're waiting and like, oh man, this is bad. I mean, it's just this crazy storm happening all around us. And the pilot gets on the intercom there, and he says some stuff that you should never say as a pilot. He says this. He says, "Well, we're first, and the tower wants us to go ahead and try it." All right, okay, first of all, if you're ever a pilot, never say the word first, okay? And never use the word try. Never, ever, ever use the word try. And that's exactly what we did. We were the first ones to take off into the storm, and we did try, and we were tried. It was amazing. If I would have stood up and preached a message in that plane, there would have been a revival like no other revival. People were praying who had never prayed. People were praying for the first time in years. And I wish I could say I was that faithful, but no. I had my head down between my knees, and I'm praying myself, "Lord God, please, I'll go to Africa. You know, I'll be a missionary to, you know, wherever. Just get me home, Lord. Just don't." It was crazy. I mean, we got hit by lightning twice, or just lit up the wing. And the pilot, I mean, he tried his best, and it was a really unique takeoff. If you've ever taken off, his idea was to get through the storm as quickly as possible. So we just replicated like the space shuttle. We just went straight up. We're all laid back and just praying and crying and weeping, calling on God, and then it calmed down, and it was fine. But this idea about going first is tough. There is a natural aversion to going first when it comes to the unknown. When it comes to things that are uncertain, there is something in us that we do not want to be the first one when we're uncertain. Think about trying to find the first person to test the first parachute. I mean, think about that conversation. "Here's the deal. We want you to go up and jump off a cliff, and we're going to tie a sheet to your back, and it should work. We want you to try it." Well, who else has done this? Nobody. You get to be the first one. Imagine that conversation. Ironically, the person that invented the parachute was not the first person to test the parachute. Smart man. But again, going first in time of uncertainty. Imagine trying to find somebody to test the first bulletproof vest. Right? People weren't lining up for that job. Think about it. It's like, we want you to put on this jacket, and then we're going to shoot you. And we think that it's going to stop the bullet. We want you to go first. Okay? Tough conversation. I mean, even smaller things, like you imagine the first person to eat lobster. I mean, what do you eat? What do you throw away? I mean, that thing looks pretty dangerous. I mean, going first when there's uncertainty, there's just something in us that's like, I'd rather wait. I'd rather wait. We've seen the results of going first sometimes in our lives. I remember as a kid, this is before we had all the video games and everything, we had things that called bikes. Anybody remember these? And we played outside. Anybody remember that? So that was the, you know, having to be inside was punishment, right? So we were outside in our bikes. And I remember we with boys and bikes, and there was another aspect there. We had to have ramps. Remember ramps? Yeah, boys, bikes, ramps. Or maybe girls. Ramps. Always had ramps. And we lived around a place where we had lots of trees. And we thought, oh, wow. We envisioned this thing where we would build this ramp and head into this tree, and there was this branch that leaned out there, and then you could go off the ramp and just reach up, grab this branch, and just swing around, and then your bike would like sail into the sunset. I mean, it was just beautiful, and we were planning it, and then we said, okay, who wants to go first? Not me. But we had one kid that he didn't care. And my brother's here today. He'll remember Herbie. Herbie always used to go first. And we learned going first can be dangerous. Because in this case, we built the ramp too high and the tree branch was too low. And it was a YouTube moment before YouTube. You know, we didn't video things back there. But, you know, he went up and poof, we flipped him around and we all laughed, and then we didn't want to go anymore because going first can be dangerous. Going first can be dangerous. We gravitate towards certainty. We want to know. We don't like risk. We want someone else to go first and work the kinks out, and then maybe we'll try it. We want someone to go first and find out all the flaws and get all the answers and get everything all taken care of. Then we'll go. I like to know ahead of time, and there's a whole industry that's popped up around this need for us that to know. How many of you have ever bought anything or not bought anything based upon reviews? Remember, you ever use those? Right? I mean, we book hotel rooms, and what do? We look at what other people say. And we're swayed by that fact. We can look at the pictures, and it can look like the Taj Mahal. But if some person writes in there, yeah, I found a dead rat on my pillow, we're not going there. Because they've gone before us. Right? We are influenced by that. We like to hear other people's stories who have gone on, because I don't want to walk into something that I'm not prepared for. I gravitate toward certainty. I want my questions answered. I want to feel comfortable. I don't like going first when it comes to things that I don't know or uncertainty. And it's the same with our relationship and our obedience with God. That we want a God that's from Missouri. We know what the Missouri state motto is, right? It's the show me state. It's the show me. We want a God that goes first. Fix it, God. Wrap it up first, okay? Show your power first. Answer my prayer first. Then we'll respond. Then we'll act. Then I'll do what you're asking me to do. But God, you've got to do what you need to do first, and then I will feel comfortable in doing what you ask me to. God, I'll give after you bless me. Right? God, I'll serve when you create some more space and some more time in my life. God, I'll forgive after you resolve this issue. God, I'll share when you open the door. Lord, I'll take that step of faith after you answer all my questions and all my doubts, and I feel comfortable about it. And think about it. Think about how we pray. What are we doing? Lord, you need to do this. God, you need to answer this. God, you need to resolve this. God, you need to fix this. And one of the things that we try to press here is this, is that prayer isn't throwing the responsibility over the wall into God's hands. But yet, how many of us, in the same way, we want to feel comfortable first? When you look at where you're at in your relationship with God, where are those pauses at? Where are those times you've like stepped back and said, wait a second, I don't feel comfortable. I do not feel certain yet. I don't feel, God, you got to do something first. We want a God that goes first. So we say things like, we're waiting on God. We're just waiting on God to answer. We're waiting on God to resolve that. Or this, or I want to be ready after, you know, when God finally answers. I want to be ready to go when God finally resolves that. And again, we're in this holding area where we're saying, okay, God, you've got to go first. You've got to take the first step. And when I feel comfortable, then I will do what you've asked me to do. But until then, I'm waiting on you. And we call it an act of faith. We just got faith in God that he's going to do this. And I'm waiting on the Lord. The problem is we're missing it. Isaiah writes this incredibly inspiring passage, and he talks about a God that does all these miraculous things. And I love this passage, but there's only one problem. There's two words that he uses that I don't like. There are two words that just kind of ruin this passage, and here they are. If we look at this again, he says, when you... When you... Turn to somebody, point at them, say, when you. When you pass through the waters, this is God speaking, says, I will be there with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. When I'm looking at this passage, Isaiah is writing this, and I love what God is doing. The problem is that this passage has me going first. This passage has me taking steps into situations that are very uncertain, that are very dangerous, that are very scary, that are very uncomfortable for me. And Isaiah is saying, hey, understand this, is that when you are taking those steps, when you are moving forward, then God is there. He covers the principles. He's teaching us this. He says, it's only when that we are willing to go first do we see and we understand. He says, when I'm moving forward and when I go through those situations in life, I begin to see where God is. He is with me. It's when I take a step of faith and walk into areas that I'm uncomfortable or I'm facing problems that I begin to see that there's nothing that I lack when God is with me. There's nothing that can overtake me. It's when I am willing to move ahead in faith and obedience that I begin to discover that my security and my strength is in Him. When we are willing to step out in faith, God meets us there. And so the question is this, are we moving ahead in faith? Are you moving ahead in faith? If this is where we discover God and this is where God is calling us, if He's saying, look, I want you to do this, and there's a hesitancy to wait upon God, but God is saying, hey, I'm asking you, this is the way I've laid out for you. I want you to do this. I want you to move ahead. Are we actually moving ahead in faith? Turn to somebody, ask him, are you moving ahead in faith? Hebrews chapter 11 says this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Maybe you've seen this verse or memorized verse. It's the evidence of things not seen. When we talk about faith, when we talk about this, okay, God, I trust you. Faith produces the evidence. Faith produces those things that we are looking for. And some are saying, well, wait a second, show me the evidence. God, I need you to answer this and then I'll act. God, I need you to make me comfortable with this and then I'll move forward. God, I need you to fix this problem and then I'll do what I need to do, but I'm waiting on you. And God is saying, wait a second, you don't understand it. It's your faith that produces that thing you are looking for. But it's not just hoping. It's not just wishing. There's another element to it, and James talks about it. In James chapter 2, he says this. That's also faith by itself. If it does not have works, it's what? It's dead. It doesn't work. He goes on. He gives it even more detail here. He says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without what? Works. Without action is dead also. These two come together. My faith produces the evidence that I'm looking for when I put actions into it. Now, let me give you an example of this. There was I was reading something the other day about a taxidermist that had a business of taking people's pets that had passed on and stuffing them and then allowing them to keep them at home. So if Fido goes on, then you can still have Fido like sitting on the doorstep or using him as a doorstop or whatever you want to do, you know, with the stuffed Fido. And I'm thinking, that's creepy. I mean, that's just kind of creepy. But here's the thing. This is a great example of this. It's the body, right? That's Fido, or used to be Fido, okay? But what? There's no action. There's no movement. He's dead. He's dead, right? That's the same as some of you today. You have faith. Oh, I believe God. How are you acting on it? Well, I'm not acting. I'm waiting. That's just creepy, right? It doesn't produce anything. It's not authentic. It's not going to work. The two work hand in hand. Faith says, I believe that God is able, and because of that, I will act as if God is able. Faith says, I believe that God's word is true, and then we say, I will act as if God's word is true. Faith says, I believe that God has a way for my marriage, my home, my finances, my morality, all of these things and principles. And belief says, it says it's more than just having a faith or an idea that God is able. I will put action into it and I will live that way. And when I live that way, I find the proof that I've been looking for. Because we can have all kind of wishful thinking. And we hope and we wish and we're waiting on God. And God is saying, it doesn't work that way. I want you to put action in your faith. And action is what makes your faith alive. And faith, true faith, is the evidence that you've been looking for. That God is with me. That God is greater. That God cares. That God takes care of. That God protects. Our problem is we like serving God from our neck up. Right? We can talk about God. Right? We can think about God. We wish. But true Christianity is a whole body experience. We have to put into action those things that we declare we believe. And when we do, it changes everything. Everything. And so we see this. It says, if we want to see and experience what God promised, then we must be willing to act in as if God was telling the truth. Now, there's a little phrase that we've used growing up, and it's powerful and it's true, and it simply says this. It says, to understand why, trust, and apply. Can we say that together? To understand why, trust, and apply. Turn to somebody and take your preaching finger and then say, tell them to understand why, trust, and apply. Okay? And see, this is the power of it, that when we understand this is how God works and this is how God's will works, that God is not one that says, okay, here, I'm going to explain everything to you. I'm going to just let you know everything. Here's the roadmap from stop to start, so there's no questions, there's no uncertainty, and I just want you to move ahead. God doesn't work that way. You can't find that in Scripture. In fact, what you will find is the exact opposite. When God went to Abraham and said, I've got something great for you. And Abraham said, where do I need to go? And God says, not here. Okay, but where? Not here. But where? Not here. So what did Abraham do? He said, well, I'm just going to wait until God gives me the map. No, he just left where he was. Because if it's not here, I don't want to be here. I don't know where yet, but if God says not here, I'm moving on. See, again, God is telling, look, there's a way to live. There's a principle. There's things that I'm asking you to do. There's things in my word that if you are waiting it for it to make sense, it's never going to make sense. It's never going to sound like a great idea. It's never going to sound easy. It's never going to sound convenient. But when we begin to say, I believe that God has a plan that's greater. I believe that God knows better than me. I believe that God doesn't lie. And so I will begin to live as if God is telling the truth. Then you will begin to see the evidence that you are looking for in your life. That as you begin to take steps of faith and says, okay, I don't completely understand this, but God's word lays this out. So I'm going to take this step. Guess what? You begin to see exactly what Isaiah was there. He says, I'm with you. I'm protecting you. I'm providing for you. I'm doing those things that you were wanting me to show up ahead of time, but it only comes about when we begin to take those steps of faith and we begin to go first. When we begin to say, okay, God, I'm through waiting on you. You've given me the direction. You've given me the command. It's not about you making the path clear or answering all my questions. I will act in faith and find the evidence that I'm looking for. And we've seen that. Some of you have discovered that in your life, in your homes, in your finances, in your job, in things in life. And said, you know, I didn't understand it, but I began to trust God. And man, God came through. Man, it just seemed kind of crazy in the moment, but God's word was true. And I began to take a step of faith and begin to live that way, begin to conduct my life that way, begin to include that in my life or exclude that from my life. And God showed up. And I'm telling you, there's no way I'd change now because God showed up. God's word is true, but it became manifest when I took that step of faith. And so we're at a place where we can feel like that maybe we're stepping out ahead of God. But actually, it's just the opposite. 2 Timothy says this. I love this passage. It says this. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Turn to somebody and say, God doesn't want you to be crazy. He gave you a sound mind. Okay. Goes on, he says this. He says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You know what he's saying? He says, don't be afraid to live this out. Don't be afraid to act in faith. Don't be afraid to put this into action. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of me or my story or his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel. Meaning, don't be afraid to take the risk. Don't be afraid to take the step of the gospel according to the power of God. He goes on, look at this. It says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. Where? Before time began. Meaning this, that God has already gone ahead, that God has already orchestrated, that God has already provided, that God has already defeated the enemy, that God has already cleared the way. And it can seem like from our perspective as if God is saying, I want you to go first. That's not the case. What he's saying is this, follow me. I've already gone ahead. Just simply follow me. I'm saying, here's the way you should live. And you think you have questions, but trust me, I've already gone through. I've already provided. I've already answered. Just follow me. And we get ourselves into a tizzy thing. Well, I'm going first. I've got all this uncertainty. And we need to realize what God is telling us. I've already been there. I've already defeated this. I had this plan going from before time began. You have everything you need. You have every resource. I'm taking care of every problem. I'm taking care of every situation. Just follow me. You see, when God is encouraging you to, hey, there's somebody over there that you need to encourage. I want you to go over there and give them a word of encouragement. Well, Lord, I don't know everything I should say, and you haven't given me a handwritten note, you know, of everything you say. No. You need to understand, you know what? God has already been working in that person's life. And when you go there, God's Spirit working through you, and just say, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I just want to tell you, man, I love you. You know, you're just doing a great job. Or whatever God gives you to say, and watch what happens. We've been on the opposite side of that. How many of you have ever had someone come up to you and say something to you that had no clue what you were going through, but boy, it made a huge difference. It's like they had no clue, but that's exactly what I needed to hear. Then maybe someone sent you a text or an email, or someone came up and sent you a card or said a word to you and just said, hey, I just wanted to share, man, you're doing such a good job, or been praying for you, or man, I want to encourage you. And it's just like, oh, administered. Did you grab that person and say, well, did God tell you all what was going on in my life? Huh? I want to see it. No. No. They would have no clue, and they think, what's wrong with you, okay? But how many of us on the opposite side have been afraid to move forward because of the uncertainty when God has said, look, I've already been there. Trust me. Trust me. Put actions to your faith and watch what happens. Some of you are looking at different steps of faith and wherever you're at. And I think if we went around the room, every one of us would be different at a different place where God is calling us, a decision we have to make or something that we're up against where we know what God is telling us to do, but there's something in us because of the uncertainty. There's a hesitancy where we're saying, wait a second, I'm not sure yet. And God is reminding us today, wait a second, trust me, trust me. Trust is more just thinking I'm able. Trust is actually living life as if I'm able. Because trust always happens in the gaps, in the uncertainty. This is a few years ago when Grant was in second or third grade and something possessed me to volunteer to help a outing. They were going camping. And so imagine camping. I think there was like 50 or 60 second and third graders out camping. What an experience, I tell you. What an experience. And we were going through the woods, and there was a bridge that had washed out over a little creek, and it was about 6 feet or so, and it was just a little creek, but it was all muddy. And so me and another guy, we put a log across there, and then we stood, and we had our hands to say, hey, grab onto us, and we'll help you get across. And it was amazing what happened, because people would come up, these kids would come up, and they would look at the gap, and they would look at me, and they look at the gap, and they look at me, and there was this decision, do I trust you enough that you're actually going to help me get across, right? And the most of them did. They're like, okay, and gave the hand and began to walk, and guess what? We got all of them across. There was a few that looked at me and looked at the gap and looked at me and said, nope, ain't going to do it. I don't trust you. I'm just going to jump. Yeah, not one of them made it, and we were cleaning mud off of places you shouldn't have been cleaning mud off of. It was right in there. Okay. Some of them said, we aren't going across at all because we know we can't jump, and we don't think you can get us across. We'll just sit here and wait. We'll just sit here and wait. The funny thing is, it's not funny, but as the people that were waiting, then a big snake came over in behind. And it was amazing how the perspective changed, right? It's like, I believe in you. You are there. Give me that hand. We're going across this thing. Is that snake still back there? Now, isn't that some of us, right? That we come up against something and God says, hey, I want you to live this way. Hey, I want you to do this. Hey, I don't want you to do this. I want you to change this. I want you to do something. We're looking at God and we're looking at the action. We're looking at God and we're looking at the action. We're looking at God and we're looking at the action. And some of us say, I trust you. I trust you. Here's my hand. Lead me over. And we find that God is able. Some of us go, no, I think I can make it on my own. I'm going to do this on my own. I don't need you, God. And we try it, and we wipe out. Some of us say, no, I'd just rather not be here. I'd just rather not take the step. I'll just stay where I'm at. And all of a sudden, trouble hits. And all of a sudden, okay, you and me, God, got to trust you. Got to trust you. I mean, how sad is this? Some of our most faithful moments are forced. I mean, think about that. That all of a sudden tragedy hits, all of a sudden trouble hits, and all of a sudden we have no other choice but to rely upon God, and we find him faithful. I mean, I'm thankful for a God like that, but how sad is it that it takes, the snake coming up from the woods to scare us, or the doctor's call, or the job situation or the family situation to force us into finding that God has been faithful all along. Because what God is saying is, look, you don't need the tragedy. It's just follow me. Trust me. Some of you are steps away from God's greatest work in your life, and you've been hesitant. Because we say we trust him. But trust is more than words. Trust that is only words, according to Scripture, is what? It's dead. It's dead. But when we begin to live what we say we believe, even if we are uncertain about it, but it is based in God's word, we find a God that when I go through the fire, he's with me. And when I go through the water, he's with me. And when I go through the storm, he's with me. And when I go through the mountaintop, he's with me. And when I go through the good days and the blessings, he's with me. When I go through healthy times, he's with me. When I go through sickness times, he's with me. When I go through sunshiny days, 80 degree weather, if some of us remember what that is like, God is with me. When I step out and it's 24 below and my battery's dead and I got a flat tire, God is with me. When God says, I want you to minister, he's with me. When God says, I want you to grow, he's with me. When God says, I want you to change, he's with me. God can be trusted. And he's calling us. He's calling us. Calling us to step up to become what he's called us to become. So as we close today, I want you to think about this. Where would you step out if you knew that God was already ahead of you? Where in your life would you live life differently if you knew that God had already conquered that? If you truly believed that God was greater than that situation, how would you live your life differently? What would you do differently? How would you respond differently? My question to you today is this, that he has. If you truly believe that he has, then begin to put your action into that. So what's that look like for you? What's that look like for you? For some, maybe just say, hey, you need to be here Wednesday. You need to trust God. Come and learn. Come and grow. Maybe you need to invite someone this week. You need to volunteer to serve or need to go encourage someone. I don't know what that is, but God knows. Where are you in your walk with God that you say you trust God, but you haven't lived like you trusted God? The beautiful thing is this, is that God doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't say, well, you know, because you didn't, that's it. It's off the table. No. He's saying, hey, trust me. Look at the gap. And look at me, and he's reached and said, I can help you past this. Because what's past this is beautiful. What's past this is what God has for you. And you will find in that step of faith a God that doesn't fail. Think about in your own life, when you took a step of faith, how God was there. And yet how often do we forget after we've taken the step of faith that every step requires faith? And God's trying to remind you today, trust me. Trust me. Live like you trust me. Act like you trust me. And you will discover the proof that I'm greater than what you're facing. God's greater. Because let's be honest, sometimes the things that God asks us to do are scary. Can't we just be honest? Sometimes the things that God asks us to do just seem weird. Right? Anybody here? I mean, am I the only one, you know? No. I mean, it can be odd. And again, I'm not talking strange, weird stuff. I'm just talking just every day doing life according to God's plan. Growing. A lot of times it can be hard because it goes up against what we want. Now, I talked earlier this morning about Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday taking time for extra prayer and fasting. And some of you already have said, I'm not doing that. But yet you believe it's important. Should we pray? Should we fast? Yes. Will you? No. Why? Oh, there's too much going on. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Don't you know what I got going on this week? I need to fuel this body. I mean, come on. I don't have time. I'm too busy. You looked at my schedule, I can't take time to pray. But here's the deal. If all of a sudden, Monday morning, you had a tragic situation, if all of a sudden on Monday, your world just started to fall apart, What would happen? Oh, I'm all prayer and fasting now, and I want you praying and fasting for me. Why? Because we believe. We believe in it. But yet we're missing the power of it. And here's what I'm trying to say, is that many of your faith is dead. You are not seeing the miraculous. You are not seeing the answer. You are not seeing the power that God wants to manifest in your life because you have become accustomed with a stuffed animal equivalent of faith. Doesn't do anything. And then we begin to associate that with God. That God must not be real. That God must not be there. That God must not care because I'm not seeing God work in my life. Therefore, it's God's problem. And the truth is, it's not God's problem. It's our problem. Because God is saying, I want to do something great. Trust me. And we're saying, I'll trust you when you do something great. God wants to do something great. God wants to rekindle your faith. God wants to understand just how powerful he is and see God working in your life. God wants to show you the evidence that you've been praying for. Lord, I need this in my life. God, I need you to show me this. God, I need you to answer this. And God has given you the way to the answer. He says, okay, the way to that is to trust me, to put action to your faith. Stop praying and start acting. You know that scripture? You know that Jesus even tells us, like, if you got a problem, you need to stop praying and go resolve it so that it can be forgiven. Some of us have resolved to just asking God and praying, and God is saying, wait a second, it's time for you to act and to put action behind what you're claiming to believe and watch God work. I know this is a simple thought this morning. Again, this is it's a fun kind of message, but because it's so simple, but yet so profound if we get it right. We get it right. Because we are people that come and we celebrate the greatness of God. We sing songs about God's greatness. We celebrate God's greatness. We share God's greatness. We talk all about how much we believe in God. The difference is, are we living like we believe in God? Because when we begin to live like it, then we begin to see the evidence of it. And we begin to see the proof of it, which causes us to want to share even more. Even more. We've got to act in faith. Let's stand this morning.